This podcast is brought to you by LOETB Community Education Service.
Well, I was just going to give you a sort of an introduction to it, because it was a complete mistake, or it was a complete... there was no plan that I'd ever enter Bordnamon or go near Bordnamon. I had plans to do something else. So I sort of just described my first morning in Bordnamona. From my memory, my last exam in a secondary school was in chemistry for my leaving cert. And a couple of days later, my twin brother and myself commenced seasonal work at Mount Dillon Works, Lanesborough, in 1978. The Bordnamona third programme of activities had opened up a large amount of work positions locally, as the company was developing new bogs in the area to supply mill peat to a new extension to the local power station. We had simply put down our names for summer work before we would go off to our planned third level education. And lo and behold, as I say, my last exam was on Monday evening, and we got a call on the Tuesday, the following day, to be ready for Thursday morning. So we were both assigned to a supervisor, Jerry O'Brien, a man that we knew well because he was our neighbour. Jerry was a very pleasant and friendly Limerick man, and both of his sons went to the same school in Kilkenny as we did. However, they were a few years older than us. That morning, he was well dressed in a collar and tie and a sports jacket, as was the style of the older Bordnamona supervisor or ganger at the time. Jerry drove us to Mount Dillon main office, where we were set up with control numbers and the necessary administration to get us started. Then we headed for Clontuskert Bog, just a few miles outside Lanesborough, on the Roscommon side of the River Shannon. It was a glorious June morning, and Jerry explained to us that he was going to walk from one side of the bog over to where some development machinery was working. This virgin bog was in the initial stages of being ploughed and drained, and the surface waters were being taken off. So my initial take on this bog was that it was just immense. The area that was in development was huge, but everything was lovely and tidy. It was pure carpet. Jerry, from the very start of our walk, just seemed to be so well informed about the flora and fauna and the nature and location. He was able to pick up a bog flower or a weed and explain to us what it was called. He also had a Latin term for it. And I can still remember and wonder when he picked up a handful of bog moss and explained to us that it was called Sphagnum cuspidatum. He told us that we were on a raised bog shaped like a dome, and many of these bogs were found all over Irish Midlands, where glacial lakes were once present. We eventually arrived at one end of the marshy terrain, where a large machine called a screw leveller was ploughing the bog. This machine was driven by one man and had a large timber track on either side. Another man, who helped the driver, lifted the plough at the end of each drain, or when the bog got very soft, he lifted it with a manual winch. And when we got there, it was tea time, and a kettle was boiled with a gas cylinder in the cab of the screw leveller, while five or six of us sat outside on the tracks of the machine, having our tea and our mother's freshly made ham sandwiches. Everybody was friendly, and the various topics of conversation came up, and among them, jovial slagging about Roscommon and Longford football. We were both brothers quizzed us to what we were going to do with ourselves and what our future plans were. And it wasn't until the screw leveller driver taunted Jerry about a poem that we then discovered that, and afterwards that our ganger was able to recite many long pieces of English prose or poetry from Shakespeare and other writers. He certainly was someone who could be described as engaging. He was special. Even though what we were doing with the bucket, we were ploughing it and taking the surface water off it to create a fuel. After 40-something years now, we're going the other way, and gosh, were we doing right at all, even though it was a brilliant moment for me. All the people who sat on the screw lever that morning, including my brother, have passed away in the meantime. I would have learned over the years that not as many people who I met were like Jerry and knew the Latin terms for the various headers and such like. But the glorious memory of the first morning, welcome, and the family-like gathering was repeated in many of the locations where I worked in Bordermona. I always sort of felt it was a happy place. No, it was an accident I went into it, because we had planned. I had a couple of things applied for. I loved sports at the time, and I was very interested in going into PE or civil engineering. I wanted to do civil engineering, and I'd applied to do that in college. And what happened was that before the end of that summer, I had that first morning, I started to work with a land surveyor because they were setting out the bogs for ploughing and all that sort of crack. And I had spent the summer with him then. And at the end of the summer, a job came up for a trainee land surveyor. And I was after spending a couple of months working with a fella, so I went for an interview and did it. And they offered me a trainee surveyor's job below in Shannon Bridge. And I was offered, like, I should have went to college in to do the civil engineering, but I wasn't going to end up doing much the same sort of stuff. So what I did later, I had always planned, my brother went off to college in Holland, above all places, to do some vocational training, and he spent a couple of his first 3 or 4 years in Holland training, and I had always decided that I was going to go back to college, and I did later on. I waited a long time to go back to college and did a degree later on, but because that was always in my head. I always wanted to sort of, I'm not saying thank my parents, but show my parents that what they were trying to do initially was important. My dad had worked on the board, yeah. My dad was a fitter. He was a mechanic. He trained as a mechanic and came to work and live in Lanesborough in the 60s. And we grew up in the village. And as I say, it was a fantastic Bordermona village. Well, Shannon Bridge was expanding like Lanesborough. They were extending the power station in Shannon Bridge, and they were bringing in a lot of new bogs south of Athlone. And so I got a couple of years there on land survey, and it was fantastic. Got great experience. We're putting down railway lines, building bridges, acquiring land, and all that sort of stuff. So really lovely. I loved it, and there was a couple of people that I worked with there. I know Eugene Dwyer. He's just after he retired there, not that long ago, from Roscommon County Council. He was a senior roads engineer, and it's gas to think that our lives are passing us like. And I just see her. Now I haven't seen Eugene in a long time, but it's amazing the way that you just come across things like. And I really liked all the people I worked with, in the sense that I didn't stay too long at the survey, and I was only 3 or 4 years at it. I actually went into supervision at 21, and that was sort of a new situation for me, where I was dealing with a lot of older people at the time, like, you know. And I was very, very young. I sort of came back. I started working. I did a job in production. It's known as production, the production office in Shannon Bridge, where a fella had actually taken an early retirement or something, and I was just asked to go in. So I went in there, and lo and behold, 2 years later, a job had come up in Bora for similar type work. And so I had applied for that, and planning and customer service, and went in there. And I suppose that was a really happy time. I worked with a fantastic fella, Charlie Shire, for 13 or 14 years, and really loved working with him. I missed the social interaction with my my colleagues. I
was preparing to retire at a young age because I suppose the experience of losing your brother early leads me to think that life is fairly short. So I always wanted to retire at 60. And I got the opportunity then, it came up and but I had been thinking about it for a long time. I'd been thinking about it even though I was very happy at work. Loved being among the people who were, it was a big family. Yeah, when I left, as I say, it's only 2 years. I only left in November 2019 and got the opportunity to leave. And I knew I was going from early in that year because I'd been given the sanction to go, but I had to help another man train in. My position was still there, and it didn't. So I trained the guy in for almost 9 months, and that was part of the deal that if I was going there. So I did that, and the first couple of weeks after retiring, the first thoughts that came into my head about it wasn't the fact that I was missing my colleagues as much or yearning to, you know, to see them again, because we always, there's a great family thing in Bordermona where you tend to meet your friends. You'll meet them at a retirement party, or you'll meet them at a funeral, or you'll meet them at some social gathering somewhere, and you can have you'll always get back to them and you'll always meet them. I've been yearning for the last number of years to do something local, to do something on my doorstep. And the landscape is in Bura, and it's fantastic in Bura, but lockdown has brought something else out of me, in the sense that what I have found in Bura is just the natural world in Bura and the observation of the natural world in Bura is just very exciting. I've spent the last 2 years, 16 months, I put myself into a project that, just something for myself. It wasn't, this isn't, there's no special reason for this. It was to keep my mind occupied, my head occupied, like I'm someone that has to either read or I have to research or I have to go after something. I couldn't be at home watching television day after day, night after night. That wasn't why I wanted to retire early. It was a quest. It was to go after something else. And it's only really when you remember Gerry O'Brien lifting his hand up and telling you that was stagnum cuspidatum. And you actually then start looking into that at a very minute level. So macro photography is a world of looking at the small things on the ground, looking at the insects, looking at the bugs, looking at the flowers and the flora and the fauna. And that's just, I was sort of saying to myself, there's a completely new world out there, and there's a world that we don't even see or we don't even look at. And we actually have a couple of people in Offaly, and I'd probably remember them, who have greatly influenced me. John Feehan, who's probably the world leading expert in Ireland anyway on wildflowers and bogs and from Burr, and a girl also from Burr who's probably influenced by John Feehan as well, is Tina Claffey. And Tina produced a book there a few years ago, and she would have quietly sort of influenced me to look down rather than look out and look up and look at the skies. And and that's what I've been doing. I've been going out looking at small birds and all sorts of different creatures that are out there. Now, it's hard work in Bura. People will tell you that, oh, it's full of nature out there, but it is. But it's certainly hard work. It's very seasonal. Springtime brings a fantastic time of the year to, new bird life and new life, and just finding that and looking for patterns and looking for behaviours of animals and creatures and birds. And but I have to say that what was enjoyable over the last few years was finding that. And my big difficulty at the moment, Noel, is that I don't have the time now. It's so, there's so much to do and there's so many different species to go after and see. I never have to go, I never have to drive to Connemara again, but we do, don't get me wrong. Like what's on my doorstep now and what's on everyone's doorstep but we don't see it is another world. Well, I suppose the Lochbuara Parklands project had helped enormously, and I had been working on that from a community level with various different things over the years, like looking at walks, looking at like, and even up to today we're still involved in the local community group have been involved in building a lovely it's just actually under construction. Well, it's nearly finished at the moment. It's a new, shall we say, a quiet place. We'll call it a quiet. It's going to be a reflective place for, and it's a place where people with kids with special needs can bring them, because we have something along the lines of maybe a quiet place or well, it's where you live. Like, why would you not help out? I know we had worked all our lives in it, and I'm not saying there's a level of guilt there. There isn't a level of guilt. Like, some people are sort of, there's a huge, at the moment, there's a massive move towards climate and climate change and stuff like that. And like what Bord na Mona did was created thousands and thousands of jobs for people in the Midlands. And I'm not altogether sure whether it was incorrect at the time to pursue this challenge of actually heating houses and creating an industry, which they did very well. I would have always known about carbon. When you work in Bord na Mona and you work alongside people in the ESB and stuff like that, we would have known about carbon and carbon emissions. It was felt that, I suppose, all along that this was a huge industry, and it was creating jobs. Like, what will happen at the moment is that it's now definitely in my own head is that I'm not saying they're do-gooders, or I'm not saying they're policymakers, probably, shall we say, whoever they are, whether they're government parties or whatever it is, but it would have been left as a complete wilderness. The villages wouldn't have been built up. Those communities wouldn't have been built up around the Midlands into the strength that they are. Now, I'm not saying they wouldn't have been replaced by something else. Like, there's no strong evidence yet that it is going to be replaced with something else. I know there's just this thing called just transition and stuff like that, but it's getting very hard to get off the ground. You know, to create the amount of employment that the two industries, the ESB and Bord na Mona, created in the 1950s and the 1960s was just nothing short of remarkable. All those people, like my parents, would have had to emigrate. There's nothing surer. That's still a debate in my head whether it was incorrect to create that industry. Now, when you're retired, you sort of say, well, is it? Was it wrong to be working in a company that, you know, but is it wrong to fly an airplane? Is it wrong to go on your holidays? Is it, you know, those questions. Is it wrong to rear food, cows, animals? Like, where do you stop with this? Is it wrong to drive a car? You know, we're all creative, but so we have to get the balance. We have to get a balance right in our lives. I suppose to finish on that note, that I would have never sort of been disillusioned or sorry that I would have worked in an energy industry. I would have been completely at ease with it, and I think it was a fantastic place to be, and fantastic people to meet.
This podcast is brought to you by LOETB Community Education Service.